Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Ash Wednesday. It is March 1st, 2017, and we are starting the season of Lent. So, like I said, it's Ash Wednesday. And I don't normally do a podcast in the middle of the week. I usually try to do them on the weekends. I do the week coming up, the lectionary text for the week coming up. But since it is Lent, and since many people in Lent try to either give something up or take something on as part of a Lenten discipline, I'm going to try to do a midweek podcast during this season, looking at some of the Lenten texts and some of the Lenten themes that go into this season. So, for those of you who aren't familiar with Lent or Ash Wednesday, it's not celebrated in every denomination. Ash Wednesday marks, as I said, the season of Lent. And Lent is the 40 days, not counting Sundays, that lead up to Easter Sunday. So sometimes it's described as journeying with Jesus to Jerusalem. We are journeying with Jesus to the cross, to Good Friday. And it's this contemplative time. That's why there's a lot of talk about spiritual disciplines. So some people give something up. Some people take something on. Somebody might give up, you know, let's say coffee or chocolate or swearing or other bad habits. And it sounds a little bit like New Year's resolutions, right? A little bit. But it's more of a way of realizing the things in your life that you can live without. That God in your life means we don't need chocolate. I need chocolate sometimes, I admit it, but I don't need chocolate to live. I do need God in my life to live a whole and complete and loving life in this world. So you might give up chocolate, you might give up bad habits of some sort. Another way you can look at it is, let's say you have a Starbucks coffee every day, and that's something that you enjoy doing, but you want to try something new for Lent. So you give up that Starbucks coffee. Another thing that you could do to take that a step further is to take the money that you would have spent on your morning Starbucks and donate it to a charity of your choice, or use that money to help someone else. So you can see how it's trying to help you to just put things in a little different perspective, live your faith in a slightly different way. I'm not saying, hey, you go give up your chocolate, or you give up your coffee, or you give up your Starbucks because, you know, it's not good in life. No, your life is your life, and you're going to do what you're going to do, and you're going to make those decisions, and that is wonderful. I'm just here to say Lent is a season of contemplation, and however you can find a way in your life to contemplate your relationship to God, to contemplate your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that is great. Some people, instead of giving something up, they take something on. So, for instance, they take on daily prayer, daily meditation, maybe it's daily yoga, daily walks. And I think here is really where we see that contemplation. If you take on daily prayer, you're committing to spending more time in conversation, but also listening to God, listening for God's word in your life. And that can also be present if you decided to take up meditation or yoga. You can listen for God in those moments. You can talk to God in those moments. Some people try to do a daily devotional. Some people take on more volunteer work, more charity work, kind of like what I was saying with the giving up, you know, instead of using that money for this, that, or the other thing, then you donate it to the charity of your choice. If you'd rather not donate money but donate time, that's something that you can do. So Lent, that's a really brief overview of the season of Lent. And as I said, Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. And so here's the crazy thing. The date of Easter changes every year, right? Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. aren't you glad you're not the person that has to figure out that on the calendar every year? So, if Easter is the first Sunday, after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox, Ash Wednesday is 40 days, not counting Sundays, before Easter. Again, I'm really glad there are people in the world who create the calendar ahead of time, and I can just import it into my Google Calendar, and it's right there telling me, hey, Ash Wednesday is March 1st this year. Easter is April 16th. There you go. You don't have to do the math. Ash Wednesday is a day when we confront our own mortality. If you've ever been to an Ash Wednesday service, you might have experienced the imposition of ashes. That's when the pastor takes ashes. They're often made out of palms from the previous Palm Sunday, the year before, and those ashes are burned, and or the palms are burned, and then the ashes are mixed with a little bit of oil sometimes, and then the pastor dips his or her thumb into those ashes and makes the sign of the cross on your forehead and says, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's a day to contemplate your own mortality. It can sound a little morbid, but it's not really meant to. It's meant to remind us that our lives, wherever we are, they're not always going to be here. We are dust, and to dust we shall return, but we are also traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem, which means that we are traveling with Jesus to the cross, but also the promises of the resurrection. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. Those are just our physical bodies. We will be in relationship with God forever. We will be in relationship with Christ forever. And so Ash Wednesday helps us to contemplate some of those things. It reminds us that we are human, and we live in a sinful, broken world, but that isn't the last word. The sinful, broken world doesn't get the last word. That happens on Easter. And actually, some traditions in their worship service, they do the corporate confession. If you're from a tradition that does corporate confession, you say a confession of sin together, and then the pastor or worship leader does the forgiveness of sin. On Ash Wednesday, you do the confession, but you don't get the forgiveness. That comes after Lent. That comes later when we get to the promises of the resurrection, when we get a little further into this season. So you kind of live in that brokenness. You've lived with, I've confessed, but I have yet to receive the fulfillment of those promises. And that's kind of what Lent is. It's waiting for the fulfillment of those promises. It's waiting for Easter. It's going through Good Friday to get to Easter. So, as I said, that's a really brief overview of Ash Wednesday, of the season of Lent. And when we come back, we'll be discussing a few things that I've been pondering about Ash Wednesday and the gospel text for this week. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent. And this is actually the gospel that is assigned for this season. I'm not going to read all of the assigned texts during these midweek podcasts. I'll just be choosing one, maybe two. So this is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they might be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As I said, that's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. That is the assigned Gospel reading for Ash Wednesday. And you can see where we get some of those ideas about fasting and almsgiving and those sorts of things during the season of Lent. When I was talking about giving up something earlier, I didn't mention fasting, although giving up something could be seen as a form of fasting. But some people actually do fast during Lent. Many Catholics don't eat meat on Fridays, and that's a form of fasting, and there's lots of different ways that that happens. So that's the Gospel text, and it always takes me a moment to kind of wrap my head around this Gospel text, because Jesus sounds a little bit grumpy. He's saying, don't do it like this. Don't be like the hypocrites who do this because who pray in this way, who give alms in this way to say, look at me and how good and pious and holy I am. Instead, do it for the right reasons. Do it because your faith compels you to do it. Do it because your relationship with God is such that you want to share that relationship, that love with others. And that, to me, really wraps up Lent. You know, I don't give up on the years that I give up chocolate, and I didn't give it up this year. You know, sometimes I like to pretend that I'm being melodramatic. Oh my gosh, I haven't had chocolate in weeks. Oh, I'm just so sad. And, you know, it's kind of funny. But it's also easy to let that be the focus. Oh, man, do I miss chocolate. I really wish I had some chocolate. Oh, I can't wait for Easter. Yeah, well, you know, kind of get over yourself. Easter will be here soon enough. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't say, look at me. I'm so holy. I gave up chocolate. Woohoo. And I'm not demeaning people who give up chocolate. I'm not saying that at all. It's just the way that you do it. It's the way that you go about the season of Lent. And so, since it's Ash Wednesday, I've been doing a lot of pondering. I've been thinking about forts. Yes, I said forts. F-O-R-T-S. Forts. I've always kind of semi-joked about making forts in all kinds of various places in my lives. For instance, there was a room in the chapel at seminary that it was used for storage and had all kinds of things in there. They stored, you know, extra tables and chairs and just the things that accumulate in storage rooms. And the chapel at PLTS where I went to seminary was it was round, so there was a lot of roundish walls and a lot of interesting shapes, and so there were some of those shapes, kind of weird spaces in this storage room. And I used to joke with a friend of mine from seminary that we should build a fort in there, and we could go inside, we could do our homework. And, you know, by homework, I probably meant go inside with, hey, some chocolate, and read a novel. But I like this idea of forts, like finding that little nook and cranny behind a table in that storage room, getting, you know, some pillows or a beanbag. I could go in there with my flashlight and my coffee or whatever. There's also a storage room under the stairs in our office. And, you know, I could make a fort in there, kind of like the little room that Harry Potter lived in, except that mine would be less depressing because it would be by choice. I wouldn't be forced to live in a little tiny room under the stairs. I would just make this little fort, right? This little hidey hole where I could go in and just kind of curl up and be by myself. You can probably see where I'm going with this. Just building forts in general. I even think about building forts under my desk. Wherever I've worked the last few times, I've always had this sort of silly little fantasy in the back of my head where I'd be like, I need a really big beanbag or a body pillow, and I'll just put it under the desk, and then I'll go under there with some blankets and my book and, you know, good to go. So I want to talk more about this idea of forts and just what it has to do with Ash Wednesday, because you probably think that I've lost my mind. But I am going to take one more quick break, and when we get back, we'll be talking about forts and how they relate, hopefully, to Ash Wednesday. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I was talking about forts before the break, and I said that I would try to relate them to Ash Wednesday, so we'll see how successful I am at that. Like I said before the break, I make jokes about, I'm going to build a fort in here and all these little cubby holes. And it was only recently that it occurred to me why it might be that I am so obsessed with forts. And I was thinking one day that as a kid, I loved to just sort of smoosh myself into weird places. I didn't make forts per se, although I did have a fort once that my dad made me in the backyard. It was kind of a little lean-to up against the back of the house, and it was really awesome because he built it around the dryer vent, so it was warm in winter, which was pretty awesome. Not so great in summer when the dryer was on, but it was my own little cubby hole, and it was pretty cool. So I didn't necessarily build forts as a kid, but I liked to climb into things. So my chest of drawers, for instance, had a door. It had a little cupboard into it. And I would love to just fold myself in there. I think we might even have a picture of it somewhere, but I might have just made that up. But I have this mental picture of myself sort of curled up in the fetal position in this little cupboard in my chest of drawers. And we had a couch, a love seat that was fairly high off the floor. At least it was to me as a small child. I'm sure I couldn't climb under it now, but I would go under there and it was the perfect place to go. I'd just go and lay under there and I'd take my snacks, and it had this little slat in the middle, a support slat, and it was the perfect shelf for food. And I really have to apologize to my mother because I know I just left the food. You know, she'd find a half-eaten apple or a half-eaten peanut butter sandwich or whatever. And so, Mom, thank you for loving me and cleaning up my half-eaten snacks because I had to have a fort under your couch. I also liked to climb into the space between our wood stove and the wall. Really bad idea, I know, but there was this space, and I would climb between the wood stove and the wall and eat my breakfast. And that was great until one day when I, you know, was climbing out and I laid my forearm on the wood stove and burned myself, and that was the end of that fort. Again, so sorry, Mom. You put up with a lot. But those, I think, are the roots of my fort fantasization, if you want good alliteration. But now that I'm an adult, it also stems from something else, and that stems from, I think, from fear. I react to fear differently, very differently from how my husband reacts to it. For him, a fearful or stressful situation sends him straight into thinking mode. He becomes the man with the plan, and I really appreciate this about him. He usually actually comes up with about four layers of backup plans in addition to his original plan. He just goes into thinking mode. He's very handy to have around, and I am much less helpful. I react to stress and to fear by sometimes, literally, sometimes figuratively, wanting to curl up into the fetal position. And that's where that fort comes in. Sometimes I fantasize about hiding under my desk when I'm stressed. That's where that whole under the desk fantasy comes in. If I just could get into that little fort and just hide from the world for a while, hide from the stress, hide from the fear. I know that's not how the world works. You know, I can't just go into my fort and sleep for a month and come out after hibernating and everything's great. In my tiny little defense, when I am in my fort, whether that's just a mental fort or if I've actually climbed under my desk, which I really don't do that often. No, I really don't do ever. I do think during these times. But coming up with those million plans like my husband does isn't my first response. I don't look fear and stress in the face and think, yes, challenge, let's come up with some backup plans. I do always eventually come up with responses and solutions, but I need my fort time, and I'm a little bit pathetic sometimes in the midst of that fort time. And I've been thinking about this because things have been a little stressful in my own personal life. You don't need all of those details, but it feels like the stress and the fear have been happening for a really long time. And for me, you know, when I get that urge to go into my fort, I get that urge to hide from life, my relationship with God can sometimes change. You know, I have those feelings like everyone has, those feelings of, where is God in this? Where is God in my fear and my stress? And my academic sensibilities tell me that God is there. God is walking with me through that stress. But my fear and my lizard brain in those situations says, God is nowhere. God has abandoned me. God has forgotten me. God doesn't love me. I just go to all those negative extremes. And that, of course, leads me to feeling increasingly isolated. I curl in on myself, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, in the fetal position. I curl in on myself in my little fear fort, and I don't engage with the world as I should. I don't engage with my friends as I should. So I'm isolating myself, but then that becomes a cycle where I isolate myself from other people. And instead of confronting my fear and talking to God and talking to my friends and figuring these things out, then I isolate myself further. So, fear and forts, but now the faith. Like I said at the beginning, I've said numerous times, today is Ash Wednesday. And it's a day when we go to church for the imposition of ashes. And I always try to go on this day because I don't want to say that Ash Wednesday is one of my favorite holidays, because that seems a little odd in a certain sense. I don't want to sound maudlin. But it is a day that I always try to attend worship. It's not because I enjoy being reminded that I'm dust and that I will one day return to dust. It's because I appreciate that I come from a tradition that sees God in all things. Not just the big splashy holidays like Christmas and Easter, no offense to either because I love them both. But we can't have Easter without Good Friday. And Ash Wednesday reminds us of the brokenness of the world, why we need the promises of the resurrection. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of that season of Lent, when we journey with Christ to the cross and Jerusalem. It's a season of reflection. It's that season when people give things up or take things on. And so when I read that text from Matthew, and I read, you know, when you do this, don't do it in a big, splashy way, I start to think, you know what? Maybe my fort isn't such a bad thing. It's not great that I want to go into it and hide from the world, but what if I think of that fort, whether it's real or imaginary, as my place for Lent? What if I think of that fort as the place where I go to pray, where I go to take that fear and give it to God? What if I think of my fort as somehow being part of my spiritual journey during Lent? And that's what I've been thinking about. I haven't quite got it all figured out, you know, these things, these ponderings are works in progress, but so is the season of Lent. It's that space that you get for the pondering, for the thinking about these things in your life. So if you're a person that celebrates the season of Lent, who gives something up or takes something on or whatever it is, maybe you don't do either, and that's great too, but never stop thinking about your faith. Never stop thinking about your relationship with God. Always continue to grow in that relationship, to seek out ways that you can connect with God, seek out ways that you can connect with your brothers and sisters in Christ, because the love that God gives us should be shared with our brothers and sisters. So I'm going to try to think of my fear, faith, fort. I'm going to go with the alliteration, my fort of fear and faith as a good thing. It's going to be my spiritual oasis for Lent. I'm going to go in there and try to pray, try to think about things, try to listen for God, try to find God in the crazy stress of my life, in the happy places of my life, in the silly places of my life. So that's what I've been thinking about. I hope you have a wonderful season of Lent. I hope you will join me again on Saturday when we will discuss the Old Testament texts for the first Sunday of Lent. And in the meantime, I hope that you remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.